Gospel reading this Monday, Thursday evening comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 13, selected verses. Listen for the word of the Lord. Now, before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. During supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and that he was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, tied a towel around himself, and he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. After he had washed their feet, he put on his robe and had returned to the table, and he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your teacher and Lord, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example that you should do as I have done to you." And after saying this, Jesus was troubled in spirit and declared, "Very truly, I tell you, one of you will betray me." The disciples looked at one another, uncertain of whom he was speaking. One of the disciples, the one whom Jesus loved, was reclining next to him. Simon Peter therefore motioned to him to ask Jesus of whom he was speaking. So while reclining next to Jesus, he asked him, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus answered, "It is the one to whom I give this piece of bread when I have dipped it in the dish." When he had dipped the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas, son of Simon Iscariot. So after receiving the piece of bread, he immediately went out, and it was night. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God had been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so I now say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you should love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Gospel of John tells the story a little differently than the others. John is the last of the four Gospels to be written. They'd had 60 years to reflect on what Jesus meant among them, 60 years to discern what it meant to be a believer of Jesus. They had thought about, tried, and tested their beliefs. So John gives a distinctive presentation of the identity of Jesus. In the Gospel of John, it is very clear that Jesus is not a victim. Rather, Jesus, as the Gospel says, is the Word, the Way, the Life, the Light, the Truth, the Door. All these dynamic, moving images that have a power to them. The understanding of Jesus in John reflects that before, during, and after this night of gathering with the disciples and Jesus' arrest, that Jesus has power. For everything that happens to Jesus, including the cross, there is still this distinct impression that somehow Jesus is in charge. It's power, but it's a different kind of power. You see it in him washing the disciples' feet. He's not humiliated to do that. He's humble but not humiliated. There's a world of difference between those two ideas. Humiliation is something that someone does to you to degrade you. But being humble, that's what you choose to be, what you choose to be. Being humble is a strength of character. Jesus is still teacher and still Lord, but he shows this humility, this humbleness that reveals the power that he has. Throughout John, Jesus is not powerless. He reveals a different kind of power in a great variety of ways. When a demonic spirit takes over Judas with plans to betray Jesus, it is Jesus who looks at Judas and says, "Hurry up and do what you are going to do." Jesus is still in charge. He instructs Judas to do his deed because Jesus is stronger than any betrayer. And after his arrest, Jesus identifies himself. The soldiers come for him and say, "Are you who we are looking for?" And he says, "I am," which is a code word in the Hebrew for God. And the entire company of soldiers bow. Jesus has a strength in front of the soldiers who have come to arrest him and kill him. Jesus' strength confuses Peter. Peter takes out his sword to fight when Jesus tells Peter to sheath his weapon. He shows greater strength, the strength of the peacemaker who knows that what is about to happen to him is what God needs him to do, and he will do what God needs him to do. That's strength. Tomorrow we'll hear about Pilate who can't figure out what truth is. Pilate, the ruler over the area, can't figure out what truth is, and Jesus shows him what truth is. And in the Gospel of John, when it comes time to go to the crucifixion, Jesus bears his own cross. There isn't anyone who helps him. The Gospel of John makes it clear, Jesus has power. Before Jesus dies, he instructs his disciples. That instruction is the center place of this table this evening. This table is about the disciples being given the power of Jesus, which is to say, the disciples are given the strength to love. The word glory is used a number of times. The glory means Jesus going to the cross. It's a self-sacrificing love. And that's a glory that those who follow Jesus have, the glory of being able to give themselves. It's interesting. At the Last Supper, according to the Gospel of John, Jesus does not say, "Love the world." Jesus does not even say, "Love your neighbor." In the Gospel of John, he says to the believers, in other words, to the church, "Love one another. Love one another." It's not that Jesus restricts love only to the church. It's just that he understands that the love starts in the church. It starts among the disciples. Sometimes it's more real, isn't it, to love those who are nearby because you see them more clearly. And sometimes it's harder to love them, but that's what he calls his followers to do. The question is, love one another. Have you loved them? Have you loved one another? Have you loved them with the passion, with the self-sacrificial love that Jesus has shown? The disciples, in other words, the church, is not about a biological family. But the church is a spiritual body, one body. There may be all sorts of diversity there, as there was with the disciples, but it's still one body. And you would no less hold back from giving to them than you would cut off the circulation of your own arm. love one another. You're connected. Take care of the body. Take care of Christ's body. Stay connected. If we want to stay connected with Jesus, then we practice loving one another, feeding one another, forgiving one another, sharing grace with one another. Love one another. On the way to the cross, Jesus sees his mother. She will now be a widow, powerless, alone. Jesus looks at the disciple whom he loved and says to him, "Now she's your mother. Treat her that way. Love one another. Take care of one another because you are one body." You hear in this passage how unified Jesus felt with God. Jesus and God were one. But Jesus also felt unified with his disciples. They were one as he is one with the Father. Love, unity, marks of the church. And when you do that, somehow you experience the kingdom of heaven already breaking in. The community that abides in Christ's love enacts concrete service as marks and signs of Christ's new life. "They're so free. See how they love one another," is what they said of the early church. It's Jesus who establishes that, and he establishes that at this supper when he tells them what life in him is about. A mutual love where we get to experience something of the kingdom of heaven.